to Husky Nation News on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores, Yukon's sound alternative. This broadcast is in collaboration with the Yukon newspaper, the Daily Campus, and Yukon's student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Rita, WHUS's operations manager and former training director. I'm super excited to be hosting Husky Nation News this week. It's actually my first broadcast since March 11th when I was doing a new spin show. And that was prior to when UConn shut down for spring break for the pandemic. So it's been a really long time since I've been on the air, but I'm excited to be back. So we're going to start off this show with the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. If you like donuts or other sweet treats and you have a UConn dining plan, listen up because this first story is for you. Production chef Kelly Haggerty at Whitney and Buckley Dining Halls has recently shared the process of making her handmade donuts with the UConn Dining Instagram page. Between her duties in the kitchen, Haggerty spends her free time creating donut recipes from scratch. She says, "I make my own recipes. I usually see what we have on hand at the Union Street Market, and it usually only takes one ingredient to spark my imagination. I'm big on taking traditional recipes and putting a twist on them." She has created over 10 different flavors that all look almost too pretty to eat, including Oreo, Dutch apple pie, chocolate raspberry crumble, and many more, all of which are available with the UConn Dining Plan. Thanks to Thomas Alvarez over at Daily Campus for that sweet story. Daily Campus correspondent Isabella Warren offers a different perspective on dining services. She talked with Derek Carlson, production chef at South Dining Hall, about COVID-related changes that dining staff have made during the fall 2020 semester, the resulting challenges that arose, and how they've learned to adapt. Carlson said, "Facing the unknown is by far the biggest difficulty they faced, as challenges arise suddenly, making it difficult to plan ahead. Products are taking longer to ship, causing changes in the menu, the plexiglass and masks make it difficult to communicate with the students, and the sanitation and capacity tracking measures are very time-consuming. However, several of these changes have been successful, like the transition from buffet style to prepare-to-order takeout, which has led to shorter lines that are moving quickly. Dining staff has had extensive training on the new COVID-related changes prior to returning to campus. So now that they've had the time to put the changes into action, things seem to be getting a bit easier to manage." The changes that we see in dining services are only part of the difficulties the UConn community has adapted to in fall 2020. Nearly 75% of the student population is learning remotely this semester, which has been particularly difficult for fine arts students. Fully remote music majors no longer have access to practice rooms, and those that are on campus can only reserve time slots for 30 minutes at a time. On top of that, the quality of online music lectures is just not a good substitute to in-person learning. Piano performance student Tristan Wong says, "It's not the best to play over Zoom and learn from pre-recorded videos. The sound quality of instruments is really difficult to grasp over video." Art students are also struggling with the restricted capacity in their studios. Tommaso Scotti, a first semester studio art major, says that it is more difficult to create when not surrounded by other artists. He goes on to say that he feels like he is missing the personal connection that comes from viewing art in person, making instructor and student critiques especially difficult. The transition to remote learning has not been a smooth one for music and art majors, since these majors are so reliant on ensembles and group collaboration. This story also comes from the Daily Campus correspondent, Isabella Warren. Our next story comes from Nayla Solomon at the Daily Campus. The Division of Student Affairs has partnered with a number of university departments to create a website where people can easily find appropriate resources and support following an incident called Inform. UConn spokesperson Stephanie Reitz said, "The new site simplifies the reporting process by letting people locate the best report for their situation depending on their identity, the identity of the other party or parties involved, the type of incident, and other factors. Anyone connected to the UConn community can access Inform to report a wide range of incidents, such as academic integrity, bias-related incidents, crime, including anonymous tips, discrimination and or harassment, hazing, concerns about off-campus parties, workplace concerns, safety threats to oneself or others, sexual and gender misconducts, or other incidents. These incidents can be reported anonymously or by leaving their name. The new process is an attempt to simplify the reporting process at UConn by making it more accessible. Hopefully, this new system will also encourage more people to report incidents and get the help that they need. This next story, written by Michael Thompson from the Daily Campus, comes from Hartford. Response coordinator for the White House Coronavirus Task Force, Dr. Deborah Birx, met with the University of Connecticut staff and administrators from the Hartford campus last Thursday as a part of her trip across the United States to meet with college administrators about responding to the pandemic and the future of higher education. Dr. Birx praised UConn's ability to deliver high-quality in-person classes whilst maintaining low infection rates. Since UConn has not had any large outbreaks directly connected to in-person learning, Dr. Birx suggested that practicing the required regulations for in-class learning, like wearing masks and maintaining physical distance in our everyday lives, will help to lower overall infection rates in the Northeast. Thanks again to all the Daily Campus writers for those stories. Now let's move into our featured news package of the week. WHUS News correspondent Jonathan Kapeliovich is going to take it from here with some student reactions to the first presidential debate between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden.
At 9 p.m. on September 29, 2020, millions of Americans watched as Donald Trump and Joe Biden took the stage at Case Western Reverse University to debate about the future of the nation. Moderator Chris Wallace put forward questions about topics like vaccine distribution, economic recovery, and climate change. The night flew by as the candidates answered questions for 90 minutes. After that, political analyst groups and talk show hosts crowded the radio waves with their opinions on the debate. Here at home, University of Connecticut students voiced their thoughts and concerns on the debate. Jessica Delgado, a junior nursing student and the secretary of UConn Collaborative Organizing, said she believes that the way the candidates acted while discussing important issues like women's rights, racial justice, and white supremacy downplayed these topics.
White supremacy obviously doesn't do anything for either of these men. So it's a topic of conversation they can just have without having any resonating emotions.
Thomas Herschel Jr. and Glenn Prushinsky, who are president and vice president of the UConn Republicans respectively, offered their thoughts on the matter too.
I mean, the ones that really apply to us most at this age are student debt, the economy, and for our generation, maybe climate change.
So I think it's important that they referenced it.
Michael Cerulli, a sophomore poli-sci major and the president of the College Democrats of Connecticut, says that he holds racial justice and economic issues in high regard. He also said that Biden performed stronger than Trump that night, and in his opinion, the nation needs a leader that is a stabilizing force and is not a constant disruption like Trump is. When it came to etiquette, there wasn't much disagreement between students of all organizations.
It was almost like I was watching middle schoolers like argue with each other.
I had my head was in my hands, and I was waiting for Trump to chill out and just be quiet for a bit.
Do you think, though, from a public image standpoint, that Biden came out the winner? Trump just kept talking over him and interrupting and, you know, just rambling and I think just letting Biden talk, do the damage himself, would have helped him more.
There were some clear bipartisan sentiments of embarrassment over this debate. With these thoughts in mind, we continue forward to the next presidential debate. With lingering questions in the air, Herschel Jr. offers some optimism for the future.
It's dicey road ahead, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, we're resilient people. I just hope it'll defuse and...
Yeah.
Especially after this year, I hope we can all just chill out and have a beer.
This has been WUS Radio. I'm Jonathan, and as our boy Thomas here said, let's kick back, relax, and I hope you all have a great weekend.
Before we move into the talk segment of today's episode of Husky Nation News, here is the weekend's weather for the stores in Mansfield area. It's going to be a bit of a wet one, folks, but it clears up later, I promise. On and off showers are expected today and tomorrow morning around 10 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be a cloudy day with a high of around 62 degrees and a low of 44 degrees. Thunderstorms are possible tomorrow in the early morning, around 2 a.m., if you consider that morning, with a 90% chance of showers until about 9 a.m. The rainfall total for the 2 days can amount to around 1 inch. After the showers subside on Saturday morning, the rest of the day will be mostly sunny with a high of 55 degrees. It's going to be a clear night on Saturday and another beautiful sunny day on Sunday with a high of around 59 degrees and some mild winds. Seems like we're going to get some of that rain that we so desperately need right now, but the weekend isn't shot, so it sounds like some nice weather.
It's 91.7 WHUS.
All right, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. All right, so we are now going to move into the talk segment of today's show. I'm sure as all of you listeners out there know, we're currently in a global pandemic. SARS-CoV-2, or more widely known as COVID-19, has infected over 37.5 million people worldwide. And unfortunately, 1 million of those people that were infected passed away. Here on campus at the University of Connecticut, as of October 12th, there have been a cumulative total of 203 residential students test positive for COVID-19. Today, I'm joined by Faisal Rajan, WHUS's program director and one of those 203 students on campus that tested positive. Faisal, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Faisal. I'm a senior here at UConn. I am the program director at WUS, so everyone at WUS knows me. And I'm a psychology and political science double major.
Awesome. So great to have you here, Faisal. Before I ask you any questions, I just want to say that no two coronavirus situations are the same, and everyone has different severities of symptoms, and nothing said in this segment is intended to disrespect anyone currently battling the virus, anyone who has lost any loved ones, or even anyone who has survived. So by no means are we attempting to generalize Faisal's experience to all coronavirus patients or even to all the patients at UConn. We are just simply sharing how the virus affected him personally. Okay, so with all that being said, let's get into the interview. So first question, Faisal, do you want to just like kind of start by giving some details on how and like when you found out that you tested positive?
Yeah, so in my situation, what happened was it was like the 2 week quarantine period at UConn, of course. And so I think like the first Saturday I had woken up and I just was not feeling well whatsoever, you know, like very strong fever. I think I was literally in my room with like sweatpants, a sweatshirt wrapped up in a blanket, shivering and like not generally feeling good. And so I figured, you know, best case scenario, I'll just stay in my room and, you know, isolate myself. And then I did that for the entire day. And then that, like, didn't go anywhere. I just stayed and, like, rested. And then the next day, UConn, you know, sends out these little surveys that you're supposed to take every morning where you, like, fill in about your symptoms and, like, let them know. And so I filled in my symptoms saying I had a fever and whatnot. They sent me an email saying they'd call me back. And then, you know, they called me back and I kind of explained what was going on. And they said, we'll give you 20 minutes to pack for a 10-day isolation stay. So I had to pack for 10 days and like in 20 minutes. And they're like, we're sending you out to Mansfield Apartments to go like quarantine.
Cool. Did they quarantine you before they even tested you?
Well, so the first 2 weeks at UConn, like, of the semester, you're supposed to just quarantine yourself and like let it all ride out as they're processing everyone's test results. And I originally had tested negative when I arrived on campus.
So you like tested positive after being on campus for a couple days and like being exposed to other students maybe?
Yeah, that is definitely what happened, is that someone within Gary has had given me COVID.
Yeah, so for anyone listening, Garrigus is one of the housing, like the student housing buildings on campus, and they had quite a substantial breakout within there. I think it had something to do with maybe the one of the sports teams on campus, and it seems like you caught it from that Garrigus outbreak, right?
Yeah, that is generally what I assumed to be what happened. So I got that. And then that was great because, like, within my stay when I was in isolation, like, I got the news that Garrigus was going into lockdown because they had the coronavirus outbreaks. Yeah. And I thought that was really funny because I was already, like, already had it.
So after you found out that you had it and you, like, moved into Mansfield apartments for your isolation, like, what were you thinking? Like, what were your emotions? Like, were you, like, scared, frustrated, kind of confused?
I was just kind of, like, in this, like, really just sad mood. I was like, damn, I thought I'd done a pretty good job of, like, being real careful. and then I just, what I actually did was, so they tested me before I, like, moved in. And then within half an hour, they gave me my test results back saying I tested positive. And it was weird because I felt a bit like a sign of relief just because I don't have to worry about, like, the whole process of, like, am I negative, am I positive? It's just like, oh, I know I have it. So I kind of just put myself in the mindset, like, the only thing I can do is just hope for the best and just do my best to, like, rest up and, like, ride the wave that was the virus.
Yeah. So do you want to maybe just kind of explain those, like, first couple days when you were in isolation? Like, what were your symptoms like? Like, what was the university doing to help you through them?
Well, I had, like, you know, over the course of the first week, like, seen some people from a safe and social distance, like, outside with masks and all that. But, like, even then, like, the first thing I did was, like, I called and, like, told everyone I'd seen, like, hey, I tested positive, you know, you should go get tested, even though, like, we were all pretty safe about it.
Yeah. So, like, after you did find out that you had it, what were your symptoms like, kind of, like, throughout that first week?
So, the way my symptoms had, like, came out, the first day was by far the worst day. It was just, like, one of the worst fevers, like, I hadn't felt that sick in years. And then the next day, I felt substantially better to the point that, like, oh, maybe I just, like, had something weird the other day, like, food-wise. And then, like, over the course of the week, like, most of the first week was just really, like, waves of, like, getting, like, a fever or getting chills. So, like, I'd just be, like, in the, like, my apartment that they gave me to stay for the week, and either I'd be really cold or I'd be really hot. And most of the time, I was also really sleepy.
So it was, like, mostly, like, fatigue and, like, basic, like, flu symptoms, would you say?
Yeah, I would say it was really similar, just having the flu. Most of the time, I was just, like, resting up and sleeping and then doing what I, like, needed to do. Luckily, I, like, got it before classes had started, so
yeah,
it didn't overlap.
Do you want to just kind of maybe explain, like, the rundown of, like, a day in isolation? Like, what you would do when you, like, first would wake up and, like, you know, how would you communicate with the university? Like, would they give you meals? Like, how would that work?
Yeah. So, they, like, set you up in the apartment and, like, it's, like, they also give you, like, a bunch of amenities, like, toilet paper, soap, and all that to, like, take showers and, like, clean yourself, which is pretty nice. They really, like, do a decent job of taking care of you. They literally, for the food, they do a DoorDash system. They have, like, I think, like, for breakfast it's 9 and then lunch at 12 and dinner at 5, and they ring your doorbell and they leave your food out on the porch and then you just gotta pick it up or let it go cold. But that's, like, generally how the food, and that, like, wasn't, you know, like, that bad. They gave me Powerade with everything. They gave you, and, like, the food was, like, pretty substantial. They gave us, like, soup with every lunch and all that. But for the most part, like, you pretty much were kind of, like, free to do whatever you want within the apartment, so long as, you know, didn't go anywhere. And obviously, I didn't go anywhere because I had COVID.
Yeah.
My bad. I was going to say about the doctor. For the doctors, what they did is that they would just call you around, like, a time you chose. And then they would just, like, give you a 10-minute, like, virtual check-in, seeing, like, how you're doing, how you're feeling. et cetera. And then after 10 minutes, they just hang up and you go about the rest of your day doing whatever.
What kind of questions did they ask in this check?
They always asked about your temperature and then just any symptoms.
Interesting. Were they like just like a phone call or was it like a video conference?
It was like basically just a Zoom meeting for 10 minutes.
Okay. How would you like say like the university like handled your situation? Do you think they did like a good job of making sure that you were like safe, but also like they made sure you were like being taken care of like physically and mentally? Do you think they did a good job at that?
I think for the university did a decent job for like what they were having to do, I guess. Like, you know, they didn't just send me out to like Alcatraz or something and just say like you're in prison. They just was like, as long as you know, don't go anywhere and like stay in your apartment and like follow like the guidelines, you were fine. And like gave us food and stuff. And they like gave us like a good amount of amenities. And as long as you like made sure to bring like a laptop or something. So,
what was your recovery process like? Like, how long did it take you to feel like you were symptom free?
I would say around 10 days.
And was that how long you were in the isolation for?
I was in isolation for, I think, 11 days.
And how did they, like, determine that you were all set to, like, leave isolation? Were you tested again?
So what they did was they, like, you know, my temperature was going down. It was, like, at, like, a regular temperature of, yeah, you know, after, like, you know, you're doing the video calls and you tell them how your symptoms are doing. And, like, I was telling them, like, yeah, I'm relatively symptom-free, like, no issues, no fever or, like, chills or anything. And then they, like, have you, and then they do, like, a minimum of a few days of, like, that. So, for me, I had, like, 3 days of no symptoms before they said you were fine. And they don't test you on the way out because what they said was if I tested again, like, at that time, I could have still had, like, residual amounts of the virus, which would have shown up and made me test positive, even though I, like, could not give it to anyone.
Yeah. So, as long as you, like, can't, like, transmit it to someone else, I guess that, and you're not, like, symptomatic, I guess it's, like, a good idea to just, like, take you out of isolation at that point.
Yeah.
So, let's see. You said, when you were moving out, what did the moving out process look like?
The moving out process kind of sucked because they really just said, you can move out, but we can't really help you move out. They help you move in, but not on the way out.
How did they help you move in?
Well, they send a golf cart that you just like can ride to the Mansfield apartments. But moving out, they just said, it's on you to figure it out.
And how much stuff did you have to move out when you...
Well, I had, like, packed 10 days worth of clothes and stuff. Because then they also didn't really have a laundry machine, so I had to pack for, like, extra.
Oh, and did you have to bring, like, bedding and, like, other toiletries and stuff like that?
So they had the toiletries and, like, bed sheets, but I brought my pillow and blanket. Because I didn't know if they'd have that.
Yeah. What has it been like after having coronavirus? Do like people like look at you differently?
It's like I'll tell people, yeah, I had coronavirus, and then they'll give like the side eye, they'll give me the look, and then I'll say, but that was a month. Then I'll like tell them that was a month ago, and I had not had symptoms for a month.
What has it been like? Have you seen anyone else you know like test positive?
Yeah, I know a few other people who have tested positive, and they're doing fine now.
Do you think that they're having like experiences that are like similar to yours, or
I'd say well, it depends, because so the people I knew test positive, they ended up I think going home instead of you know just staying at Mansfield apartments. So
was that an option that they asked you in the beginning, if you wanted to go home or move into Mansfield apartments?
Well, I lived on campus and I like don't have a car, so I just assumed that they knew I like wouldn't be able to go home, I guess. They didn't really tell me, but I think my friends who like had lived in apartments, they had the option of going home.
Are there any like suggestions that you would give to someone who is on campus on residential like living?
Wear a mask, don't trust anyone, even if they say they're like tested negative. You don't really know them. I wouldn't really trust them. Like, keep your distance, wear a mask. you know, just really just follow the guidelines. It's really simple. And wear a mask, as always.
What about someone who has tested positive and is moving into the housing? What would you suggest that they do to, like, make it a bit easier for them?
Bring, like, what you need to get your work done and also, like, stuff to entertain yourself, because you're just going to be, like, doing nothing. Because they don't, like, there's nothing, like, there's no TV or stuff in there. It's, like, just, like, what? It's, like, a dorm room. Like, yeah. You know. They just have the anemone so you can, like, sleep and, like, take showers and stuff. But I would, like, just bring a laptop or, like, something to keep yourself entertained.
I mean, that's really all the questions that I have. Are there any closing statements or anything you want to add?
Wear a mask.
That is
it. And follow the guidelines.
All right. So, thanks, Faisal. It was really great to talk to you about your experience. This interview has been in the works for a while now. I mean, it's obvious you said you tested positive in that 2-week quarantine period, and it's like October now. So we're happy we finally got to get you on with the news department, Husky Nation News. So for all of you out there listening, this interview was recorded and will hopefully be up on whus.org within the next couple of days with a basic transcript if you're interested in hearing the full interview. So that brings me to the end of the show today. Thanks again to our guest Faisal, our collaborators UCTV and the Daily Campus, Ethan Smith for our theme music, and our news director Kate for letting me host today. But most importantly, thank you for tuning into Husky Nation News on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. Up next is a collection of podcasts from our Friday Talk Block.